I'm sure we're all aware that positionally we are very near to a holy God, positionally from his standpoint. He no longer sees us now in our sins, but sees us in Christ. And that's a blessed position. We could not achieve that by ourselves. Our natures, the old man, could never do what was required to bring us into that blessed relationship. But as has been mentioned in verse 6 of chapter 6, we say, the word of God says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That is the way God sees it now. If I died with the Lord Jesus, and I did, that old man was laid upon him. He died for all sin. He died for all my sins. And we know that. We know that very well. So positionally, we can rejoice. But in a practical way, our state, our condition, is not always what our standing is. And there is where we need the Word. We need all the help that we can get from the Word and from the Lord. He does not lead us into sin. He does not lead us in the wrong direction. But the world around us does. And everyone here, young or old, is very conscious of the world around us. We're in the world every day. And no matter how we may try to avoid it, we are affected by the world around us to some extent. And this is where the Lord comes in to guide us through the trials and the temptations of this life. And he's ready to do that if I submit myself to him daily. It's been mentioned, it isn't a matter of, well, maybe once in a while I fail. No. Every day, you and I are tested. Every single day. It's hard to imagine that, but it's absolutely true. And sometimes we fail. We fail. But we can pick ourselves up, you know. We don't fall into a ditch and remain there and say, well, I'm worthless. I can't be used by the Lord. No. We pick ourselves up, we confess our sins, and we know when we do that, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So our pathway here is not alone now, not relying on me to overcome that old man who remains in me, but wholly relying on the Lord Jesus. And when I do that, then there's hope, and he will. He will help me. For every step of the way, he will help me to overcome the temptation. And there's a way out, of course, if I fail. I just mentioned it. Confession. So our standing before him, that is before a holy God, never changes because it is in Christ. And it is Christ in us who is the hope of glory when we display him. When we display him. And that delights his heart. When I display the Lord Jesus in my relationship to others who have the same precious faith, but of equal importance and maybe greater to the world around. I should never be discouraged in presenting Christ to others, not just in words, but in the life that I live. May the Lord help us to do this. He will.
I have a question in regards to this portion here in chapter 6. This expression, know ye not, and knowing this, and knowing that, it's repeated several times throughout the passage. So the question is, what is the significance of the Spirit of God bringing to our attention things that we should know?
Over and over again, the Apostle Paul uses this expression, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. For example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13-14, and other passages. No. He wants us to know something. And that's where the solution is. We have to know truth in order to apply it. And he makes mention of this knowing in connection with what we can call co-crucifixion. I have been crucified with Christ. The problem is that little word, I. I. Philippians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, or could be the faithfulness of the Son of God. He's faithful, changing never. He provides for me continually at the Father's right hand, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, when we come together on the Lord's Day morning, Christians, and we break bread and drink the cup, we look back at the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. But not only does it have to do with sins forgiven, as our brother has mentioned, but we now want to look at this matter of the root. Not only sins the fruit, but sin the root. God has dealt with that for us. And when we look back as a historical fact, we have that here. Co-crucifixion, a historical fact. I died to sin, but I could not accomplish it myself. God had to do it for me. And he did it in Christ. And that's what we have to know. Know what? Verse 6. That our old man is, or literally, was crucified. And verse 3. Know ye not that as many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ. That word baptized simply means to be placed into. The word means to be immersed, submerged. It could be 1 Corinthians 12:13, perhaps. That thought, that idea, that we were placed into someone. It's Christ. And what did he do for us? He died in my place. And we died with him. So God has done something for me, and it's finished. It's a complete work. It's an accomplished fact that I have been put to death. The question could be raised in light of your question, what do you do with dead things? What do you do with sin? You kill it. God has put to death sin in the flesh, and then he buried it. It must be put away, and only then can we live in the good of it. In the present. It's a finished work, and perhaps we should perhaps zero in on this with some other help with regard to what does it mean here to be crucified with Christ?
I would just like to suggest this. I hope that we all know that when you take up Romans 6, 7, and 8, you'll realize that as far as chapter 6, and we'll stick with it for now, there are two masters. And that the reality of it, it is a question of who am I going to serve. And in order for me to serve the blessed Lord, the true Master, I have to overcome, by his help, not as we have heard the penalty of sin, but somehow in a practical way, overcome the power of sin over me. And because this is something very serious, God is giving us his assessment of things through the Apostle Paul, that if we know these things, and of course not only the head knowledge, but act upon it, it is somehow a guaranteed thing that I will be able to overcome the power of sin, even having the flesh in me. Because chapter 6 is not really the flesh yet. It is the sin. It is the root of all, if you can say it. It is the root that really ruined the flesh. Because if you take Adam, the old man, if you want to put it that way, he would have been innocent all his life, if sin was not introduced. But because of sin, he became this miserable or terrible example to us as believers. So it's a matter of coming to the same assessment, as you have mentioned before, brother, which I truly agree, because God could have saved me and brought me to glory. Not only just made me perfect here, just brought me to glory. But God desires that every believer, brother or sister alike, will feel the same feelings of Christ Jesus and what it costed the Son of God to pay for the penalty of sin. Because if I was taken up, I would have never had appreciation of the grace of God. Because I would have never understood really how sinful sin is. So God left me in that scene, in that way, and he brought these features, Brother Bill, or these examples of us to know. What is the first thing that I need to know? It is really the first thing that I need to know is the truth of baptism. This is the first thing that the saints of God should not be ignorant of. What is the truth of baptism? I mean, so many times we hear, well, I was baptized, I was baptized. It's a wonderful thing, the truth of baptism. But I'm going to enter into that truth, and I'm sure brothers will help us through it. The truth of baptism is that I have died to this You know what? They were baptized unto Moses. What does it mean when the scripture says they were baptized unto Moses? They were acquainted all their life that Pharaoh was their Lord. Pharaoh was their king. So now when they crossed the Red Sea, they were baptized unto Moses. So now you ask this Jewish believer, who is your Lord? Not anymore Pharaoh. We are now baptized unto who? Unto Moses. Who is my Lord? It's Moses. And it's the same thing with the believer. In the truth of baptism, one of that wonderful truth, I come under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first knowledge that I have to acquaint myself is what is the Lordship of Christ? That when I talk about the Lordship of Christ, I'm speaking about ownership. Now Christ Jesus owns me. We are not our own selves. We are bought with a price. When I talk about the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, this means I have to submit to His rights. There is rights. And this is where the believer will start in the right direction. The first knowledge I have to acquaint myself is the baptism, that I am now under the Lordship. I am dead in Christ, buried with Christ, but now I live. You live in a different circle, in a different world, in a different sphere, and you acknowledge there's only one Lord, and that is the Lord Christ Jesus. And if I can take hold the first lesson of His Lordship, that would lead me to the second knowledge that we will come to it. Amen.